Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
Welcome along to the Brad and Brit cast. We are glad you are with us. You know, we got a lot of complaints, a lot of whining. Not that much about the audio on the previous Brad and Brit cast.
Not really.
I hope we've addressed that issue. You see how I said issue?
I hope so.
It was funny. It was funny when Limbaugh said it 30. It's still funny.
It's hilarious. It's a lot of stuff that he did. God rest his soul as he roasts in hell.
All right,
let's stop, Marty, stop. What are you yelling about? Like you said, you broke the law by making an illegal U-turn. And I hereby, as a citizen of the town of Mayberry in the United States of America, arrest you.
All right. And he got applause. That's from a 1963 episode of Andy Griffith. Would you put that in the top five?
I'm not qualified. You know, there are a lot of people who are experts on these things. I'm not qualified.
It's a great moment. It's a great moment. I only bring it up because on Tuesday, the former president of the United States, twice impeached, four times indicted, 91 times charged, president called for the citizen's arrest. The citizen's arrest of Letitia James and Judge Erdogan in the New York civil trial. He wants them arrested. He would like you to go out and take care of some business for him and just get this done, because they've broken the law. Here's his statement. I would like to see Letitia James and Judge Engoron placed under citizen's arrest. For, of course, he didn't apostrophe the citizens.
It's plural.
It's plural. For blatant election interference and harassment. Now, we'll get to the obviousness of that being just a stupid thing. Just, you know, add it to the list. But you are messing with the Andy Griffith Show constituency, which I would say largely, in a way, kind of overlaps with the core Trumper constituency.
That's funny.
And I don't think he knows what he did. Very often he says things and does not know where they come from. Clearly Donald Trump didn't watch the Andy Griffith Show, doesn't know anything about it, and doesn't realize that about the only use of the phrase citizen's arrest in popular culture in the last 100 years is that moment on that show.
It's true.
Nowhere else. It never comes up, because citizens' arrests just don't happen in this country. They don't.
No.
It's largely vigilante justice. You can call Gomer Pyle a vigilante if you choose. I'm not going to go there. But, you know, Trump.
No, it was a tit for tat thing. Gomer had been pulled over by Barney earlier, and he was pissed off and was just getting back at Barney. That's what it was.
Right, for a U-turn. And then Barney pulls away, does a U-turn. Gomer jumps out and stops his car and calls for citizen's arrest. See, so the difference, here's the difference between these two moments. That moment, fictional as it was, Gomer had justification. for citizen's arrest. Okay, play along. He did, sure, because he saw someone breaking the law, citizen's arrest. Donald Trump has, as always, nothing that he brings to the table on anything. And in this particular case, he has nothing to say except they're being unfair and they're interfering in the election and they're harassing. Okay, none of those stand up to the quality of Gomer Pyle's grievance against Barney Fife and actually pulling a citizen's arrest moment on him. So Trump can't even get this right. He can't even wade into these kinds of waters, I think, without making an idiot of himself. I don't know how many people made the connection like I did. Probably other people. I haven't seen anybody do it. Maybe I'm just the only person sick enough to think of that. But that's just part of, you know, what I tried to weave together here, which is, you ready? It was going to be citizen's arrest.
Yeah.
Throw it all out. Or is Don ready to throw in the towel? Make a decision, Don. Okay. Because he's all over the map in the last 24 hours. He really, really is. He finally made a statement about his dead sister a full day later.
Right.
Now, how do you think he made that statement? Do you think it was a heartfelt? I'll give you an example. The statements made by the other cast members of Friends about Matthew Perry are all, they're wonderfully nice. They remember the great moments and they quote some funny lines and they get some kind of sitcom jokes in there. And that's fine. That's fine. That's what you'd expect. And they're devastated. And you think that Donald Trump would be with his oldest sibling dying. It's kind of a knock-knock on your own door, right, when that happens. But, of course, Trump, right, without any prompting, went to the Trump playbook and honored his sister, but then immediately went to complaining about her treatment by the fake news and others who went after her mercilessly for years. A truly beautiful woman, tall and elegant. Okay, so that's kind of a backhanded compliment that, well, you know, she's my sister, so I couldn't fuck her. But Ivanka, okay.
So sisters are off limits, but daughters are fair game. Right. I got to write down I don't know the rules. I'm sorry. I didn't realize this. And I grew up in a rural area where, you know, that sort of thing was, you know, a thing, but I didn't realize that's how the rules went.
Here's Donnie from Queens. Donnie from Queens. A beautiful woman, tall and elegant with a presence like no other. She was also a tremendous student, intellect, and judge in charge of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, just below the U.S. Supreme Court.
Tremendous.
Her life, this is the best part. This is great. Her life was largely problem-free, then capitalized, perfect, until I made it difficult for her when I decided to run for president. Now, how did that seem to upset her perfect life? Well, could it be because you're a piece of shit? And, you know, when your closest relative, your brother, is a piece of shit, it might bounce back on you. Trump says that's when the merciless treatment began. And because of the fact that she felt it inappropriate due to her position to defend herself, it just never stopped. And she was made to suffer in those years from 2016 until her retirement. Of course, he leaves out the fact that the reason that she officially retired, I think she was on senior judicial status at that point anyway, was because the allegations were, and I'm sure they were true, that she was involved in the Trump family tax dodging scheme. Yeah, remember that? That was so long ago. Remember when the just about ready to go out of business, New York Times just went all in and dug in and found tax returns and found all the shenanigans that were going on a family-wide basis, including with Donnie from Queens at the very top of the pyramid of sleaze. But People Magazine would like you to know that their relationship had grown very, very distant in the last few
that's
years.
Hard to, I want you to that's know hard that. To believe. That's yeah. tough to believe.
Yeah. And well, remember, because she really let loose and criticized him. We mentioned
they tricked her on tape. They tricked her on a recording to say those things. Right. She didn't know she was being recorded.
Right.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Allegedly. A couple of things about that. First of all, the citizen's arrest part of what you just said was clearly a bat signal to the Proud Boys, those guys that stormed the Capitol, all those guys that stormed the Capitol on January the 6th, to go ahead and try to find Letitia James. And it's tough because they really can't tell individual black women apart, so they could really go after any of them. So you have to be careful about that.
She would be the one surrounded by about 8 security people 24/7. So she would stand out that way.
Any really prominent black woman in America, Oprah, Jada Pinkett Smith, anyone, you got to tighten up security because these idiots, they don't know. They'll just go after pretty much anyone. So, yeah, I think that's pretty clear that's what that is. And it would be hilarious except for the idea that these idiots are stupid enough to go out and do it. Now, some of them have shown that they're not real happy with Donald because he didn't support them and help them out on January the 6th. So they've kind of fallen off of some of their support. But some of the neo-Nazis and white supremacists, they're still hanging tough.
Right.
Still and hanging tough with their guys.
Right. And we'll leave aside the fact, I said it before, there's no crime to elicit a citizen's arrest, of course, except Donald's opinion. Oh, okay. I forgot. In his America, if he were to be elected, it will be his opinion as to whether you should be subject to arrest. Maybe you'll get a trial.
Maybe.
But you'll definitely be convicted, and you'll have no chance to defend yourself because the Constitution, which will be ripped to shreds, it needs to be eliminated, according to Trump.
Yeah.
Will not get in the way. So this does fit in. You're right. This does fit in with all of that.
In another life, we would have called it a dog whistle, but we've given away with dog whistles. And we're just doing bullhorns now. It doesn't matter.
Stop insulting dog whistles.
It's every one of my white supremacist followers go hard to the hoop over Letitia James and then the judge too. So that was number one. As far as his sister passing away, do you remember they pretty much caused their brother to, I think maybe it was Fred Trump Jr. Was that that may have been what his name was, the one who was a pilot?
Fred. Yeah.
They pretty much caused him to drink himself to death.
It's just like a glorified bus driver.
Exactly right. I think he was a commercial airline pilot, and they would talk to him at the dinner table and go, you know, Fred, you're basically just a bus driver. That's what you are. Like, not giving
glorified,
him any credit.
Glorified.
And then he drank himself to death, basically, to get away from those people and to escape. Which, you know, I'm not in favor of alcoholism, but I understand, is what I'm saying. I understand why someone would want to drink themselves to death to get away from that bunch of horrid people. That's essentially what happened.
As for the citizen's arrest story, one more little nugget. Ty Cobb, the lawyer for Trump in the early days of his presidency, before Ty Cobb knew very quickly he wanted to do a D.B. Cooper and jump from the airplane and not worry about whether he hit the ground running or dead, who's still around. He's got that flowing beard. He's really got the look, doesn't he? But he says the citizen's arrest call could be considered to be equal to the dog whistle to come to Washington on January 6th it will be wild.
Yeah, it will be wild, sure.
Right. Ty Cobb says Trump's putting himself in hot water by going after the prosecutors, the judge, and the staff. I believe at some point comments like this will result in Trump not only being sanctioned, which will probably be the first order of business, but they'll result in him being put in jail pending some of these trials. We'll see. I hope so. I mean, he's getting away with the phrase getting away with murder. Yeah. Kind of doesn't apply here, right? He hasn't actually himself murdered anyone, but he's damn close.
No, I mean, I understand why people are frustrated because he does seem like he's getting away with a lot that not practically, no one would get away with as far as threatening judges, threatening staff members, threatening the court stenographers. I understand, but you also have to appreciate that the court is in a precarious position as far as handing out punishments to a former president. You got to be.
I don't appreciate that at all.
You don't appreciate their position at all.
No, I don't.
Just throwing behind bars.
Well, we can't have everyone running around saying no one is above the law. Everyone should be treated equally, and then carve out an exception for this person. And I don't care whether he's running for president or for, I'm not even going to say it. You know what position you always use as the, you can't do it. And they're letting him do it. And I hate to even go back and say this again, but if senators or members of Congress had been killed, or a mass hostage taking had occurred, or if Mike Pence had been found and hung from the rafters like they wanted to do on January 6th, would there have been as much tiptoeing around this as there was? Would it have been a year and a half before we had the Congress hold hearings like they did, which was then finally followed up by the U.S. Justice Department under the very, very cautious Merrick Garland finally stepped forward to get us where we are today, less than a year away from the election, with Trump pulling every possible trick that he has known and practiced for 50, 60 years, first watching the old man do it, and then under the tutelage of Roy Cohn, learning more and more and more and more, and then watching fellow Queens resident John Gotti escape conviction several times before they finally got him. And you're worried on behalf of our court system that they don't want to go too far because this is an ex-president. I say bullshit. This is a five-alarm fire. This is a six-alarm fire. Democracy is on the line. And if this person is not held to account for what he did to try to overthrow the government of the United States, steal documents to overturn elections, legal elections in various states, if he's not held to account and he wiggles out through legal maneuvers or delays long enough and then runs around and campaigns, and enough stupid people in this country, and let's not mince words here, we have a lot of stupid people in this country who will buy into the victimhood line in a campaign. They already are. We're done for it. Mm-hmm. We're done for it. And then add in the last few weeks of him getting more and more explicit every day on what he's going to do in a prospective second term. And they're already plotting and scheming and hiring, and they're vetting, and they're finding, quote unquote, the right people to execute Trump's plans of revenge and dictatorship. But we're afraid. Our court system is afraid. Judge Chutkan, worried. Judge Erdogan worried that if they sanction Trump right now with the harshest penalties that are deserved because of what he has been doing, to try to screw up these cases and intimidate witnesses, they're worried what? That the barbarians will be at the gates again and attack the courthouses, and we'll have riots all across this country. You know what would happen if Trump were told to show up in New York or in Washington? You're going to spend the weekend in jail. You know what would happen across this country? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Yes, they would whine on Fox about it. I know that. But nothing would happen.
No, but to your point, what bothers me about this and what's always bothered me about Trump is all you have to do is establish bad behavior, and then you get to work from that. You know, you get to work from that level. If you've ever met people or had people in your family or in your life who have ever just established bad behavior as the norm, and then you object to it, then it's like, well, you know how he is. You just know. So, yeah, I mean, I agree to an extent with what you're thinking, but we've never had a president on trial. It's never happened in the 250 years that we've been a republic. It's just not. It's everything is unusual. Everything is. And everybody, I think everybody is trying to walk on eggshells, of course, except for the guy who is throwing the eggs at a machine gun pace. It's I understand why they're cautious. To an extent, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I wish they would just throw him in the clink for a little while and let him just drink on that. But that's also going to be another fundraiser for him, another call to arms for his people if they put him behind bars.
But you can't not execute the law out of fear that, well, this will just help him. He takes everything and turns it around, so let's do nothing.
I would like to see a firmer hand.
No, Trump is like Hamas, okay? If you go after him, oh, he just gets stronger. There are more little Trumps that get created around the world. Don't go after him. And by the way, he's holding the country hostage, just like Hamas is holding the entire Palestinian people hostage. And every time you kill one of them, you help Hamas. So you better leave Hamas alone. Ceasefire for Donald Trump. That's it. We need a ceasefire. We need to let it play out. We need to let the people decide, Britt, in the election in November. They're the ones that really should decide Donald Trump's fate, right? Wrong. They decided it in 2020. And then he started to lie about it over and over and over again and got us to where we are right now. The decision was already made. We had 230 years of people losing elections and getting on airplanes and flying off to San Clemente or going back to the ranch in Texas or whatever presidents who lose their reelection campaigns do. It doesn't happen all that often, but it happened with him. He's one of those.
It's so strange that when he decided not to be there on Inauguration Day, you know, because he was too butthurt and everything else. Because we had just expected that happens. You know, that the guy who loses shows up and he shakes the hand of the guy who wins and they go off into the sunset. And that's what we've done. That's what helped preserve that.
But remember, that wasn't a surprise that he wasn't going to show up. He already had said
he
wasn't going to show up because that was already part of the.
Well, it was a surprise based on shtick. It was a surprise based on human behavior of 200 previous years. Yeah, that's what the surprise was.
Right. Well, remember, so that's that was 14 days after January 6th.
Yeah.
So the last thing you would have expected would have been for him to show up and then suddenly decide to be gracious and shake the hand of the person who actually did win the election. And Biden did win the election, didn't he? You need to check that.
Yeah. Well, you've heard we haven't talked much about it, but the Jenna Ellis testimony, I guess, from Atlanta that's come out where they were like, we're just not going to leave. And they told him, they said, well, we pretty much exhausted everything we can do in the courts. And that's about all we can do. Well, we're just not going to leave. Oh, okay. I feel like there was a part of him that really felt like there was going to be a significant portion of the military that just rallied to him and took some tanks and a couple of, a couple of guns and just surrounded the White House and wouldn't let anybody take him out, wouldn't let anybody get him out of the White House. I really think that somehow there was some sort of mentality there.
I think he was getting a special kind of mushroom on his Big Macs. That was making him think that the military would obey some kind of order like that. That being said, apparently they're vetting right now to make sure that they can put into place in various military positions the ones that are political appointees, people who would carry out those kinds of orders. And we need to be aware of that, and the country needs to be aware of that, and Joe Biden needs to campaign on that as we look ahead. I posted yesterday on my Facebook page, you can look at it if you want, a repost by my friend Jeff Levinson in California. He wrote this exactly 3 years ago on November 12th, 2020. So that's what, about 6 or 7 days after the election. Jeff's a retired attorney. And so this is six days after the election, 6 days.
Yeah.
And his analysis at that point was, and it was based on his experience as a trial attorney. He says, I've been involved in about 4,000 lawsuits, a lot of which have to do with fraud. He says, if I were to ever go into court without a shred of evidence, when I'm charging fraud, they throw the case out. But fortunately, it never happened, because I would never be involved in a case like that. And based on what I've seen so far, this is 6 days in before a whole bunch of the lawsuits were filed, right? He said, I see nothing, and I look forward to Joe Biden being inaugurated in January of 2021. And he was stunned that there were any lawyers walking through the United States that would ever be willing to take on such a case with no evidence. So this is less than a week, and I'm sure he's not the only one noticed it, who had real legal experience. People like us, we were thinking the same thing, but we didn't have the actual legal knowledge. But honest to God, it was all there. And to see our country being held hostage by this person, and of course he holds the entire Republican Party hostage at the same time, as they're all afraid to say a bad word about him. Republicans, you don't think he's turning on you? You don't think he's not going to turn on you if you weren't part of the full suck up brigade these last 4 years? You think there's going to be a place for you? No, they're coming after you too.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
They're coming after you, and the judge is just in the way.
Yeah.
That's what's happening right now.
All right. Hippo eugenics in Colombia, or how Mike Johnson became Professor Harold Hill.
Oh, do Mike Johnson an update on our Speaker of the House. And if you've forgotten what his name was, I would forgive you.
Washington Post today. Dateline, Shreveport, Louisiana. Mike Johnson was an eager young lawyer, 4 years out of law school, stayed up till 5 in the morning poring over the details of a big controversy roiling his hometown, River City. No, Shreveport. Is Shreveport on the Mississippi? I guess it is, isn't it?
I think it is.
They were opening a new strip club in Shreveport.
That's an emergency. Oh, that is a 4-alarm fire.
By the morning, he was so worked up that he appeared later that day at the City Council of Shreveport to implore city leaders to block the club. The name of the club? The Deja Vu Club in Shreveport. Block
Shreveport. By the way, a slight correction. Shreveport on the banks of the Red River. Red River, Brad.
River counts. We just needed a river. Doesn't matter which one. I've done an exhaustive legal research on the matter, probably more than anyone. And he argued that the arrival of another sexually oriented business, or SOB, as he called it.
That's cute. Wow.
Would spread sexually transmitted diseases and other social ills. But you do get some fairly attractive women coming into town. He didn't count that.
He didn't count
his pitch, it. Right. His pitch failed. The club opened the next year, but that was the turning point for him. He had been a general practice lawyer up until then, but decided, I'm all in now on the culture wars And that put him on the path to elected office, first in the Louisiana legislature, then to Congress. And now he is the Speaker of your House of Representatives.
So this is his origin story. This is this really stupid villain origin story.
Yeah.
You know how Lex Luthor got mad at Superman because there was sort of a falling out when they were kids, and then something happened. It made all of his hair fall out, and forever he was always trying to get a hard-on for Superman. That's an origin story. This is a really shitty origin story. I was opposed to a titty bar. It went in, and I vowed to take it out on the world ever since then. I'm John Mikeson.
So that's how Mike Johnson became Professor Harold Hill. It was a pool table. A pool table, I tell you, my friends, right here in River City.
And again, the law didn't work out for him, so he sought to change things because let's go extra legal. Every city pretty much has, you know, regulations about that sort of stuff, and apparently these people were fine, but that wasn't good enough for John Mikeson. He couldn't handle it. Not in my town.
John Mikeson. Down to Colombia.
Hello.
Pablo Escobar's hippos' descendants are being sterilized.
Oh, wow.
They started yesterday in the country of Colombia.
Yeah.
Sterilizing hippopotami. Or is it hippopotamuses? These are descendants of the animals that Pablo Escobar brought to Colombia just for his own entertainment.
Yeah.
In the 1980s, two males and one female underwent sterilization, and they want to control the population. Right now, there's about 100 hippos roaming around unsupervised on some rivers in Colombia, and they want to get about 40 hippos sterilized a year. Some will be sent off to other places, probably New York City.
New York
and
City.
Other liberal enclaves. Yeah. Yeah. And they may euthanize some of the other ones. So, but Britt, hey, how do you sterilize a hippo? Go ahead.
I don't know how.
Very carefully. Okay.
Oh, remember the game Hungry, Hungry Hippos? There you go.
Here we got. I have it upstairs. It's still there because, Britt, we throw nothing out in the Krantz.
Everything's
house.
Still there in the Krantz Museum.
We got it all. The hippos were spread from his estate, Pablo Escobar's estate. And did they use this storyline in Narcos?
I don't think you've watched more Narcos than I have. I don't know.
What? Yeah, like one episode. I didn't stay with it. They have no natural predators in Colombia. Well, they're fucking hippos. Who's going to go after them?
They have no natural predators.
Mastodons.
It makes sense. I could see why you would want to sterilize them. You got to let them die out because they're going to take over.
Well, you can't let them die out. That's the point.
Well, you have to. That's why you got to sterilize them. That's the point of sterilizing them, is they won't reproduce.
And letting them die out, that would be euthanasia, Britt. That would be eugenics, picking out the species you want as
eventually,
superior, and then taking care of the one that you don't like. The species.
No, if you sterilize them, eventually the ones that are there now, they don't procreate, they don't make new ones, and eventually they die. They have a very natural life, and then they go away, and then there's no more hippos. Well, so, yes, they do die out.
But are there old age pensions?
Yes, there are some pensioners in Colombia who are hippos collecting still to this day.
The actual number, they estimate there are 169 of them in Colombia. And if they don't take any measures, if they're just allowed to mate like rabbit hippos.
Yeah.
In 10 years, there could be 1,000 of them.
You don't want that.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Sterilization takes time because spotting, capturing, and getting to these territorial aggressive 3-ton animals is complicated. Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. How about you do it today? No, you do it today.
No, you.
No, your turn.
Because you can't actually do you can't blow like a dart, you know, got a pretty thick skin in order to knock them out, you know, and go to work on their genitals.
Each sterilization costs about $10,000.
Wow.
And of course, the risk to the person that draws the short straw of the day. God, oh my.
So you wanted to go into animal medicine.
Yeah. You couldn't go into veterinary medicine and treat schnauzers, huh?
You just, hey, mom, hey, dad, I do want to be a veterinarian. I want to help animals. Well, I got a great project for you there, kid. It's more of the legacy of Pablo Escobar. This is the worst thing he ever did. This is by far the worst.
I think there are other things worse.
No, this is by far the worst thing.
I can't remember what they are.
This is by far the worst thing in the legacy of Pablo Escobar to the people of Colombia.
Yeah.
Leaving them with these hippos that could wreak havoc on the entire country.
Oh, so I'm kind of fascinated still with the payout, the $75 million payout to this Jimbo. Jimbo Fisher.
Jimbo Fisher. Texas A&M University.
I just read the, I think this morning, it's triple what had been the largest payout ever.
Yeah.
So a new standard has been set.
Well, right. There's so many layers to this because no doubt you've seen the graphic that shows that he's actually going to be paid out more than Jameis Winston has earned in his entire career. You've seen that.
There's a million comparisons that make this outrageous.
But Jameis Winston was the reason he got that job. That's the reason that he got the job.
That doesn't matter.
The other thing that I heard, and I listen a lot to the Lebatard show. I think the Lebatard show is very funny, and it's also got some information there. Like at halftime of the Texas A&M game this past Saturday, I do not remember who they were playing. It was at College Station. They have a big presentation on the field, and it is a donation. It is a huge donation to the athletic department at Texas A&M University. And it's something around $128 or $168 million, somewhere in there. Some family, very wealthy, is donating. So it's like flash bulbs went over the entire stadium. Oh, shit, they've talked about how we can't buy them out. Here's how we can buy out Jimbo. Jimbo's going to be fired.
Well, I only got interested in this early this morning because I read a column by Sally Jenkins in the Washington Post, and it speaks to not that incident that you're talking about an award at halftime, but I guess if you went all across the country and looked at athletic programs everywhere, Texas A&M gets the least bang for the most bucks they've been spending since you were born to try to become an elite football power. And they've really never gotten there. Never. But they spend more. Apparently, they have the most lavish locker rooms and practice facilities. They have air-conditioned practice facilities. I don't know if that's all.
When Johnny Manziel was there, he totally changed a lot of the stuff there. And that's when a lot of the people came out of the woodwork and started giving a lot of money to that university. And things changed. And then eventually they have this guy.
Think about all the failure years before that.
Oh,
and then they had
many years.
A year and a half with him or whatever it was.
Yeah, exactly.
And they thought somehow, some way, that having one guy who had that moment in time would elevate them. And all these people, I guess, who graduated from there with money started throwing more money in, like you just said. And for what?
Well, somewhere there's going to be some enterprising reality television producer that's going to get the idea that Jimbo Fisher and Ed Orgeron, the guy that got fired from LSU and got a massive payout 22 months after he won a national championship, and just have those two rich over 50, maybe over 60 white guys roaming around in their boat trying to pick up women with just filthy, just crazy amounts of money. To me, that's a fantastic reality show that just absolutely needs to happen.
So you want to combine Hard Knocks with the Golden Bachelor?
It's got to be. It, right? It's almost.
Is that the game?
It's got to be a little naughty too. It's really for my age. I'm the demographic for this. It's for guys my age with dudes picking up chicks that are either way too young for them or they would never be in their league and they're just cruising around like Key West and shit like that. To me, that's what this is.
Yeah, but actually, that's kind of every show ever. That's Dynasty. That's Blake Carrington with Linda Evans.
Then why mess with the formula, Brad? Why mess with the formula if it works?
Right. Well, these are real people. Right. These are real people. And yeah.
It's real money. It's really disgusting. If we really thought about it for a moment, we'd be kind of sad about the situation. But the train is so far down the tracks, it can't be fixed. It's so far gone. And the money's not even close from being stopped. It's coming in by the barrelfuls. You can't stop right. The money from coming in.
You can't unring the bell. You can't unwind the clock. The contracts were already signed, and you're going to pay these clowns to not coach your teams. And you know what? No one's going to be upset, and it's just on to the next guy, right? And the next guy will sign a big contract too, right? So it doesn't matter.
I would hope to God that there would be something in my life that I could do so poorly that somebody would pay me 70 some million dollars not to do it. I would hope to God that's a great lesson for our youth. Either be really good at what you're doing or be so bad at they pay you millions of dollars not to do it anymore.
Not to do it.
Oh, well, good stuff.
Doesn't that get us to the end where who was it that was ready to pay Trump $5 billion not to run? Or what was that story a few weeks ago?
I can't remember who that was. But that was
already floating around. You know, is there enough money in the world that he would accept to step away?
You saw the Peter Thiel statement, the story from over the weekend about he's off, he's done.
I'm really tired of all these people. Oh my God. The worst scum in the world who were on the Trump train all this time. Now, suddenly, what happened? What changed in the last few weeks or months to make you decide maybe my judgment wasn't so sound?
It wasn't everything that I'm also tired of, like, yeah, when he started, when he was first in office, he was great. But you know, he's changed. I'm so tired of that. My head's going to freaking explode if I hear, yeah, 2017 Donald Trump is not 2023 Donald Trump. He was really doing some great stuff back then, hitting some home runs, but it's really bad now.
Well, no, or how about that? You could have never predicted that it was going to get like this. So, okay, I'm done.
It does. I mean, not to be Professor Godwin or whatever, but I liked Hitler when he had the trains running on time. Sure, that was fine. Everybody was okay with that.
Now, see, you keep confusing. Mussolini
had the trains running on time. Well,
now. Hitler did have some trains running.
Yeah.
I don't know how on time they were, but I guess it didn't kind of matter.
I think they were on time. I think they made the correct.
For him, they were timely enough for him.